From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns takes us into the opening verses of chapter 12 as he concludes a message entitled, A Great Cloud of Witnesses. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. The devotional for today is called Complete Safety. The text is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 12. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Yes, there is no safety like that which comes of dwelling near to God. For his best beloved, the Lord can find no surer or safer place. O Lord, let me always abide under thy shadow, close to thy wounded side. Nearer and nearer would I come to thee, my Lord, and when once specially near thee, I would abide there forever. What a covering is that which the Lord gives to his chosen! Not a fairer roof shall cover him, nor a bomb-proof casement, nor even an angel's wing, but Jehovah himself. Nothing can come at us when we are thus covered. This covering the Lord will grant us all the day long, however long the day. Lord, let me abide this day consciously beneath this canopy of love, this pavilion of sovereign power. Does the third clause mean that the Lord in his temple would dwell among the mountains of Benjamin, or that the Lord would be where Benjamin's burden should be placed? Or does it mean that we are borne upon the shoulders of the Eternal? In any case, the Lord is the support and strength of his saints. Lord, let me ever enjoy thy help, and then my arms will be sufficient for me.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking. His oath, his covenant, his blood.
trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As part of this series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns has been bringing a message entitled, A Great Cloud of Witnesses. The spirit of the passage actually carries over into chapter 12, where the connotation is of a group who serve as spectators to a race and who cheer for those who compete. From this text in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12, we see that believers are called to run a race for God. This is the nature of our calling, and the thought of those heavenly witnesses ought to inspire us to run our best, so that we may obtain what Paul spoke of as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Such a race involves considerable cost to the runner, for it demands the utmost exertion and commitment. Unlike earthly races, however, the Christian's strength comes not from within himself, but from Christ. We are to run looking unto Jesus. In order to run this race effectively, believers must lay aside every hindrance, or, as the text says, every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Though the race is demanding and difficult, we'll see that faith in Christ will produce glorious results, both during and after the race. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message called A Great Cloud of Witnesses.
Jesus Christ and his apostles were very clear in this. You put aside anything that's hindering to your spiritual well-being. But then he says, you lay aside particularly the sin that doth so easily beset us. There's been some question as to the Authorized Version's translation. Is it the happiest? I personally think it is the very happiest translation you could get. The word that's used here is a unique word. It's made up of three Greek words just put together. The first one is well, the next one is around, and the next one is standing. In other words, literally, it is the sin that is standing well around you. The reference is to any loose garment that would readily cling around the limbs of a racer. That's why you don't normally see a woman running in an evening gown. I mean running in an athletic competition. You may see her running in an evening gown, but in athletic competition. John Brown, the great Scottish commentator, made it this. Any loose garment that would readily come around the limbs of a racer, laid aside. Now let's take that to ourselves. Lay aside every weight, but especially, that sin which stands well around us. That sin, first of all, that stands well with us. It's always easier to be nice to yourself about your own pet sin than somebody else's sin. And it's always easier for me to deal with sins that really don't cost me anything to deal with than that sin that stands well with me. A sin that has particular attraction or some particular advantage or some sin that is most likely to get in my way. Paul says, especially pay attention to that. You know, there's a great deal of absolute arrant nonsense taught in Bible-believing pulpits. The greatest stupidity is carried on in Bible-believing pulpits, and Christians sitting in the pews are dumb enough to accept it. Now, does that sound harsh? Let me give you an example. We had a preacher, a very good and godly man, who preached in the early days in the Free Church. I'll not give you the history of all our preachers. We had all sorts of characters came to attach themselves for a while to the early days of our movement. The Lord weeded them out. This fellow was a holiness preacher. Now he had before him, he had a group of the strictest, most separated people you could ever meet in your lives. All the women had long hair. I have nothing against that. I don't want to get personal and talk about you looking like men. You'd get mad when I looked like a woman. Well, I think it goes the other way as well. But that's not my point today. All these women had long, uncut hair. Not a trace of makeup. Made some sense. No jewelry. Dressed very, very carefully, modestly. In many cases, even somberly. So what does he get up and preach about? He's skinning sin. One of the things he's skinning is hula hoop skirts. I'd love to have seen some of those women at church in a hula hoop skirt. I mean, I don't know if you had those over here, but these huge things that looked like shortened crinolines and this hoop around them to keep them. Crazy style and all that, but there was nobody there with that style. He was flaying and slaying the awful sins of the flesh. And all those people were sitting there taking it. But the sins that really needed to be dealt with were totally overlooked. Totally overlooked. The sins that were dear to them. One of his right-hand men had a tongue that would have cut many a good and did cut many a good and godly Christian down to the ground and left them wallowing, as it were, in their own blood that could do nothing. Now, that sin wasn't dealt with. No, sir. There's a sin that stands well around us. It gets an advantage over us. That's the sin to deal with. But I think it's especially the sin that Paul has been warning about right through Hebrews. That's the sin of unbelief that leads to apostasy. It was the call to these people to go back to Judaism. The sin of Hebrews 6, the sin of Hebrews 10. He said in Hebrews 3:12 that you have to be careful about one thing, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Be careful of that. Lay aside every temptation to apostasy. I don't think that we are in the danger that these Hebrews were in of being threatened by open apostasy. But we are in danger of unbelief. Hebrews 11 tells you, live by faith and set aside that sin which would question the will of God and the word of God. Set aside that, could I put it this way, that natural propensity to try to do things in the flesh and not in the spirit of faith in Christ. Lay aside that sin. The last thing they do then is they encourage us that faith in Christ produces glorious results. I've referred to John Brown, one of the famous John Browns of Haddington. I don't think there's a better commentary on Hebrews than John Brown's. And so I'm going to sum up, because I'll be much briefer if I do it this way. And you'll get your dinner the same day it started to be cooked. I want to sum up how these people encourage us that faith in Christ produces glorious results. Three things. One, we can do all God's commands, however difficult. Hebrews 11 teaches you all that God commands you, you can do by faith, no matter how difficult. Two, we can endure all God appoints, however severe. Look again at Hebrews 11. What suffering? We saw some of them sawn asunder. We saw some of them stretched out like the skin of a timpani, and then battered to death on the rack. We saw some of them tempted, desperately tempted, in the times of their greatest earthly weakness. But they're telling us, by faith in Christ, we can endure all that God appoints, however severe. And the thing they finally tell us is we will obtain all that God has promised, however remote and apparently unlikely the promise is. Here's the encouragement. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. by so many historical proofs and illustrations of the power of faith in Christ. Let us, therefore, run the race as they ran the race, until at the end of life's little day, we will with them receive the crown of glory. When our race is run, and when our victory is won, we can say with the hymn writer, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. It will be worth it all when we hear from his blessed lips, well done. You've run the race. You've reached the goal. There's laid up for you a crown of life. Enter in to the joy of thy Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In just a moment, the meeting will be over. You'll be free to leave. Run the race. You can't run a race unless you start it. The starting line is Calvary. Have you ever been to the cross? Have you ever been saved? Man, woman, boy or girl, are you in this meeting today? You say, preacher, I've been trying to live a Christian life. I've been trying to do the best I can. But my trouble is I have never got to the starting line. You can't run the race for Christ unless you get to the cross. Man, woman, boy or girl, come to the Savior and make no delay. Trust him. Call upon him. Thank God he'll save you. If you say, preacher, I have started the race, but oh, what falterings. Oh, what feelings. Thank God there's forgiveness with the Lord that he may be feared. There's restoration with the Lord. He restores our soul. There's grace to let you go on with God. Call upon him. Look away to Jesus. Thank God by faith in him you'll run the race. If I can help you in the things of God, I'm here as your servant for Christ's sake. I invite you to remain as the others leave. And I'll be glad to open the scriptures with you. Point you to Christ as a sinner or as a backslider or as a Christian in need of counsel as how to run the race. Don't leave until you are sure you're looking unto Jesus. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Give fruit for its proclamation. We thank thee for the illustrations thou hast given us from history of the power of faith in Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for the challenge thou hast given us even from the secular world of the effort that men and women make for some earthly crown and some earthly honor. And we pray that thou wilt stir up our hearts to be looking unto Christ and to run with patience the race that thou hast set before us. Hear our prayer. Keep us faithful and give fruit for the preaching of the word. Part us with the blessing of God now, that blessing which maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. May thy grace, mercy, and peace be with all thy people, both this Sabbath day and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all his glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.